It's Friday, and hello, my name is Alan O'Donoghue. This is a podcast that I record each week, which is all about how you teach GCSE computing. Now, today, we've been doing a Python course at school, and I've got some people who've been taking part. I've got, what's your name?
Adam Jennings.
And what's your name?
Adam Wayne.
So we've got Adam and Adam. So Adam, have you had to travel a long way to get here today?
Yes, I've travelled from Oldham. To get you. Left at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
Tackle the traffic.
All that traffic. And yourself?
I've travelled from Llandudno, or Anglesey, North Wales.
Oh, so Oldham's nothing really. That's just like a walk in the park, yeah? So are you teaching computing at the moment?
Yes. We've just introduced GCSE computing, so we came on this course to get some ideas to engage pupils and look at how we can differentiate tasks so everybody succeeds and achieves.
But surely if you're teaching it already, you don't need to come on a course to learn about programming.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always good to upskill and see what's happening and get ideas and share ideas and network with others.
Definitely, yeah.
And you're already teaching GCSE computing?
Yes, we've started in September. It's at the moment it's going well. Yeah.
Were you not a little bit nervous when you started at first?
Yeah. Very nervous, yes. We've always got to stay ahead of the game, and I think these training sessions really do help with that.
So today has all been about how to teach programming with Python. Now, you've been on a course already, which was understanding about Python. Did you find that other course really helpful?
Yes. I did a course here with you a year ago, and that definitely set me up for being prepared for the changes that are going on in education at the moment. I hope I can keep coming on these courses and topping up my knowledge and experience and sharing and networking and things like that.
So what would you say has been the most useful thing today from the course?
For me, it was just looking at the tasks that the kids can hook onto and grab the coding and the new languages that we want them to learn and be excited about it, because it is exciting. It's for the future, that's it.
Have you seen anything today that you've done that you thought, you know, I'm going to take this back and I'm going to do this tomorrow or next week? Was there anything that you found like maybe with Play My Code or the Minecraft or any of those?
Definitely the Minecraft. I think that's going to be a winner with the kids.
I can see when we started talking about it, your eyes lit up.
Because
you didn't even know all you could do all this programming within Minecraft.
No, that's going to be mind-blowing in my Minecraft. But I think the kids are going to really enjoy that and probably be very impressed that there's another angle to coming from this side, coming from the programming side, and not just the playing side.
But when you think about it, we're trying to show that with computing, you can actually control the world in which you live in. And, you know, Minecraft is a great place to start to control that world.
Definitely.
Sorry, Adam, you were going to say...
Yeah, I was just saying about Minecraft last year. It was a case of, why are you playing games? That's going to be blocked. And now to see the whole twist on it with the using Python, looking at the program, changing the various settings.
I'm sorry,
sir.
I thought we weren't allowed to play games.
Well, we are now.
But did you find the Play My Code? We looked at that this morning. We were programming in Qubi. Mm-hmm. Did you think that was something that you could use?
Straight away, yes. That's a really good shoe in to the whole coding thing. That will get them on board straight away, because the reaction, the response is instant. The changes are instant, and they can see what they've done and have a good play.
I mean, the other thing was the idea of making mistakes, finding out what the errors are, working in teams. I think you mentioned rallying, and one being the driver, one being the navigator. So students are working together to solve problems and not in isolation, and the teacher is the facilitator rather than the answer to the problems.
Well, thank you both very much, and I hope we can see you on one of the GCSE computing courses that we're going to do
next year.
Okay.
Certainly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Bye. Now, for the next part of this podcast episode, I'm going to take you around our CAS meeting. So CAS, Computing at School, we hold Computing at School hub meetings in Preston. We started off, when we first introduced them, we had one a term. Then people said they wanted more, so we had one every half term. And now we're having one every month. So in Preston, we typically have them on the first... No, it's not the first. It's either the second or third Monday of every month. And we run them from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock. So usually what happens is the first half hour, we get people together in the staff room, give them tea, coffee, biscuits, that sort of thing. And we give them a little activity. So tonight so far, the first activity was we put them in groups and we asked them to plan a lesson. So, but it wasn't just any lesson. We said, imagine next week you're going to have a year 9 class for 1 hour and you've never met this class before, but your mission is to persuade them to choose GCSE computing. So what would that lesson look like? The second part, of we moved them into the classroom, the teachers, and I showed them what I call my crystal ball technique. So it's all about predicting what might happen in the interactive mode in Python. So we've used things and words like integers and strings, assigning values to variables. And now the last half hour, we've been playing what I call Python Jenga. For Python Jenga, you start off with a game that already works. You remove things one step at a time. But the objective is to still maintain the functionality. It must still work. So I'm going to go around now and talk to a few people and ask them what they've been doing and that kind of thing. So my first volunteer is a teacher that teaches not very far away from here. Tell us who you are.
My name's Adam McWilliams. I teach at Corpus Christi in Fulwood, and I teach GCSE computing, and I've just started it this year with the help of Alan.
So, Adam, you're a regular here at our Preston Hub meetings.
I try to be, yeah.
Why do you come to the meetings? Because you must have to give up a certain amount of your free time and that to come.
Well, yeah, but it's worth it because you get to discuss problems that you've been having with other with your students, or just get new ideas, fresh ways of doing things, and fresh ideas as to how to teach computing, which is invaluable because a lot of us have never done it before.
And if you were trying to persuade somebody who'd never been to a hub meeting before, and they were like, I don't know, it's an hour away, I'm not really sure if it's worth it, what kind of things would you say to them?
Offer them free cake. we had once.
No, but we're trying to persuade them to
come.
Oh,
yeah. We're trying to persuade them to come.
So what would you say to them?
Yeah. Well, basically, if you've never taught computing or you've never thought about it, or you sat there and you feel as though everything's piling on top of you, we're offering you a hand. We've got this hand here waiting. Just grab it and come and see us. And, it doesn't even have to be for the full time. You can stay for as long as you want, get what you want from it. And then, that's us done.
And have you made any new friends tonight? People you've not met before?
I've actually been trying my best to stick with my
colleague
at my school, because obviously she's in the avalanche and I'm trying to help her through. But also that's helping me in terms of my teaching skills to try and work out how I'd explain it to her and treat her like one of the kids, really.
So tonight you've been involved in three activities. The first one was planning a lesson.
Yep.
Second one was the crystal ball technique. And
yep.
Then the third one we've just looked at was Jenga. Was there any of those that particularly valuable that you think you might use with your own classes?
The guessing game, surprisingly enough, I used that last lesson.
Sure.
But in a different way. And obviously for the lower ability kids, I think that your way would have been an improvement.
Do you think you could still use guessed a number now that they're familiar?
Definitely.
The same way.
They're reusable, and obviously with it coming down the chain, so obviously it's coming down into Key Stage 3 now. I've got to do programming at Key Stage 3, and a lot of the listeners will probably be like, what am I meant to do with them? And that's where I am at the moment, because I'm struggling with my Key Stage 3 students because of that resilience and the fact that they don't keep trying, and trying to get them to think outside the box and things like that. So any little tips that I can glean from from the meetings, go into my planning.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's Adam McWilliams, Corpus Christi.
Yep.
Are you on Twitter if people want to get in touch?
I'm not. No, sorry.
That's okay. Now, can I ask, who have we got here?
Phil Miller from Tarleton Academy.
And a teacher of computing?
Yeah, I'm teaching computer science for the first time since September.
And also from Tarleton Academy we have...
Tim Vickers. I'm not teaching computing yet, but hopefully I will be next year.
Oh, hopefully.
Yeah.
So you're excited about the idea of doing this. Yeah. And we also have...
Helen Cattrall from Archbishop Temple, Head of Department of ICT and Computing, also teaching OCR GCSE in computing this year.
Now, am I right in thinking, Helen, that you've been to other CAS meetings before?
I just come to one before Christmas. This is second.
Yeah, but you didn't go to any in Cumbria?
Yeah, I went to the South Lakes one.
That's
went to a couple of meetings up there, with Roger Davies. And...
Okay, and Phil and Tim, you're regulars here?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I think I've been to about eight last year and this year, following on from some of the
the courses that you did and got contacts through that way.
Now, some people listening to this podcast may never have been to a hub meeting. They wouldn't know what to expect. Can you use like individual words that you could use to describe?
Brilliant for sharing ideas, isn't it?
And that's networking. Lots of words. That's great. So, let's see if we can get it down to one word, Terry.
Fun.
Inspirational.
Bill's raised the bar. Ideas. Engagement.
Yeah. Challenges.
Ideas.
And have you met any other people at the chemist's things? So here we're carrying on. We hope this has worked. So tonight has been a few different activities. Was there one activity that you thought, actually, that's been really useful, like the planning exercise, or was it the crystal balls or the Jenga?
The crystal ball was completely different from anything that
Do you think you might try something like that with a class?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd need to know and have a high level of expertise in order to try it?
No.
Because there was a lot of banter in it as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, and you can put whatever you want on the board and get them to try it or guess it and do it and wrong it together.
That's right. And it doesn't matter if you need to know how that works or not. Yeah.
But
the Jenga task that we're using, do you think the children would need to have a high level of understanding of Python if they were going to try that Jenga task?
I wonder whether they'll just immediately delate it all.
When I did your sabotage
task with some of my Year 9s this week, one of the sabotage was just delete everything.
Right. Okay, that's one. That is.
I said that's a bit mean.
Yeah. It's scorched earth, isn't it?
Because the reason for that is sometimes people think you have to know quite a lot and start with a blank screen, but you can actually start with something that already works.
Yeah, if you're giving them something that works to start with and the challenges.
So if you were talking to a colleague who, say, worked or lived an hour away from here or any other CAS Hub meeting, what kind of things would you say to persuade them to come?
We've done this and it went down really well.
Yeah.
And, things that you've been able to take back to your classroom. I mean, I've got computing tomorrow, and last time I came to a meeting, I did the task and it went down really well with the students, and it wasn't much planning. And I think if it was like in an observation, I think that would go down really well.
Yeah, we'd always come away with something that we want to try in the classroom, haven't we?
What do you think about the format of the meeting as well? Like we always start off with like a half-hour meeting in the staff room coffee. Do you think that's productive or valuable?
Oh, it is very...
Because I think the last few times we've come, you've given us something to debate and settling that, you know, and just seeing how things work in other schools, because I think we're all learning together in a way. So it's really useful.
Okay, thank you very much. What do you want me to do now? So... tell us, who are you? What do you do?
I'm Dave Ames. I run a CAS Hub under the name, it's the Rochdale, Bury and Oldham CAS Hub at Holy Family in Hayward.
And you're also a CAS Master Teacher and the Northwest Regional Coordinator as well.
So my hub meetings, we quite often will introduce something new, usually. But not always. It tends to be on one topic rather than a mixture of topics. So we just...
which allows you to sink your teeth into something.
Yes, it does. Yeah. So it's like an hour and a half maybe on something. We'll share... If somebody's doing stuff, we might share it, or we might do an introduction to it. But as much... So equally as important as learning something new is the chance to network with other people, network with other teachers who are teaching the same subjects as you.
Now, I'm guessing, I think you've been to three different, you've been to Preston, the Bury, but you've been to the Manchester one.
I've been to the Manchester one as well, yes.
So you've seen a fair good mix and variety of them. Are there certain, without, you don't have to like name and shame or anything, but what would you say are the key ingredients of a successful meeting?
Being willing to talk about what you're doing and share what you're doing and
in a way
get
not,
new ideas.
Where you're not embarrassed to tell people.
It's quite nice to have discussions about things as well.
Sure.
So you're all coming from different angles, different viewpoints, and you get to possibly see it from a different point of view, the one that you're not.
And I think some people are maybe a little bit scared about hosting or running a CAS meeting, because I think they're going to have to be the expert and they're going to have to do a lot. Would you say that's true?
I've run some, but I've also had two people from the exam board come in and run one of my meetings one of the meetings. I'm trying to think.
So the activity that we did tonight at the beginning, were you involved? Oh, no, you weren't here.
I got here later.
Oh, sorry, yeah. So we had an activity at the beginning where teachers sat down in groups of five, mm-hmm. and they had to plan a lesson. But it was a lesson where you only get one chance with a year nine class that you've never met before to persuade them to choose GCSE computing. But don't worry, I took copies of everything, and I'm going to share those online. Was there a particular technique or an idea that you saw tonight that you thought, oh, do you know what, I might just try that with a class?
Well, I like the Jenga one from the other, which I saw on Saturday as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That one.
What is it you like about Jenga? Why do you think it might work?
Well, I mean, in terms of a class, it all familiar with Jenga. So, I mean, and especially when you pull the trick on them at the end, that's the nice bit as well, because they're probably not expecting that part.
Because, and part of the reason why I've done that as well, people think sometimes, oh, I'm coding, it's got to have 400 lines of code in it, you know, for it to be successful.
Plus it's the whole business about, if not so much with an introductory class, but as they're going along, is about breaking your program and not breaking your program, where the error messages come in. And
I don't know if have you read much about test-driven development, TDD?
Yeah.
And the way the TDD starts is, what is the minimum that you need to, first of all, to fail a test
and
then to pass?
One of our CPD sessions that I ran last year was on a simplified version of TDD that you could actually do in a class with pupils.
And I like the thing as well with the Jenga is you start with something that actually works
rather than
the other way around, which is a little bit like sabotage.
Yes.
Well, Dave, if people want to get in touch with you, are you on Twitter? Is that
David Ames, that's AMES.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Oh, I've come to ask some other people, like Ryan, for example. Ryan, have you been to a CAS meeting before?
No.
Oh, so what do you think? Do you think you might come back to another one?
Definitely, yeah, it was really, really good.
What was one thing that you're going to take away from the meeting that you thought might encourage other people to
come? The crystal ball thinking idea.
Ah, explain how that works.
You...
you're going to try this for the class tomorrow, you know. So explain how it works.
You ask them to look at the crystal ball and what do you think is going to happen?
So it's all about prediction.
It's talking about prediction, thinking what they think is going to be the prediction, and if it's right, if it's wrong.
Now, I'm going to ask Ruth, because you teach in a school that's not like any other school.
No.
Do you think some of the things that we were looking at tonight might apply, because yours is a special school?
Yeah.
Do you think some of the things we might apply, or do you think, no, they were way too complicated?
I can alter it to meet my students' needs, to make it more basic, and so that they can do coding as well, but in a more basic format.
Another thing I want to ask you, because you don't just teach computing and ICT in your school, you have to teach some other subjects.
Yeah.
Can you see some overlap between how computing might feed into subjects like maths and science?
The computing will link into my maths teaching because of like the numbers, and I can use some of the stuff we do in computing in maths lessons as well.
You like that bit where we're talking about data types before, and we're saying if a number is a whole number, it's an integer without a decimal. That in maths, some people in maths they say 4.0 is an integer, so you can kind of introduce those too.
It's making it more accessible for my students, and using this sort of way will make it more accessible for them and more appealing to them.
If you were trying to persuade somebody to come to a CAS meeting like this one, what would you say to them?
That it's really good to network in with other people and get different ideas. It's opened my eyes, because I haven't had this sort of training for quite a while now.
So, Ruth, Ryan, thank you very much. Now the next person, my next victim, volunteer, is Nikki. And Nikki, you're not a teacher. You don't teach in a secondary school or a primary school. What do you do?
I still teach, but I'm a university lecturer at UCLan, which is in Preston.
Now, Nikki, someone's going to say, what on earth would a university lecturer want by coming to one of these sessions? You're going to help them understand.
Actually, I think for us it's really important to align what we teach students when they come to university and what you're teaching them in school. So for us to be able to teach appropriate material that's at the right level, we need to know what knowledge they're coming in with.
So by you being here tonight and meeting primary and secondary school teachers, because you do a lot of work with your first years, don't you, undergraduates, you can kind of think, oh, well, in 3 and 4 years, they're going to be coming in knowing this, and it helps you plan in advance.
They are, but it's also a two-way process. I can learn from the teachers, and hopefully they can learn something from us as well.
Ah, like there was a bit earlier when we were talking about conventions and styles for naming variables, and you were able to put your hand up and go, I know the answer to this. And what was it you were saying?
I'm actually interested in things like standardization, especially when you've got nearly 200 assignments to mark.
Gosh.
And they're all using different styles. It makes it far easier, and if you can make them all teach, do things in the same style. And it kind of reflects then in the workplace, because if there's lots of them working
absolutely,
in a team,
yes.
if they can't work yeah. in a team at university, yeah. how can they work in a team when they go out and work?
So although by you insisting on a consistent style and convention in the way that they program or code, not only are you making your life easier, but you're actually improving their employment prospects at the same time.
Well, yeah. to be honest, that's underlining everything that sure. we do. How can we make these students more employable? Yeah. Because there's a lot of competition in the workplace.
Absolutely.
Although I believe that after the medicinal sciences and vet science, IT and computer science is probably has got the highest employability
yeah,
rate in the UK.
That's right. Yeah, I read something like that a while ago. Well, thank you very much, Nikki Danino. Thank you.
So that was the Preston CAS meeting last night, Monday, the 13th of January. And I'm just going to let you introduce, I'm going to introduce you to some people in my Year 7 class at the moment. They've been using Scratch in lesson. We've been using like a backbone or a skeleton that runs through every lesson. We've been using the racing car game, the one that I've been using in my teach computing training sessions. And although children are developing their own games out of class or and as part of their homework and that, we keep referring back to this racing car game to try and test out new things. So I'm going to go and talk to some of the children in the class just to see what it is that they've been doing in the lesson. Matthew, tell me, what have we got here on the screen? What software are you using?
Scratch.
Using Scratch. And what is it you're trying to create at the moment?
A racing car game.
And what's different about yours? How is it different from other people's?
It's got the white and red dots that other people's don't have on the edge of the corners.
And what were they meant to represent, these?
The corners, like on real racing tracks.
Ah, right, so they have like bumpers, don't they?
Yeah.
And what happens if you touch them when you're playing the game?
Well, I've not done it yet, but you're going to back up.
Right, okay. So something will happen.
Bounce
it off. Okay. Now, I noticed you've got a car. How do you control the car in your game?
With the arrow keys.
Okay, and you've got this tiny little racing car on a track. And what's this other thing? It looks like gun sights. Explain to me.
It's a shooter. When you shoot the car, it's going to change costumes. And I've not finished them yet, and it's here.
So would you have the same person controlling the car as the gun sights?
No.
No. So it's like a two-player game. So yeah. One person, they have to try and steer the car around the track, yeah. while the other person has to do everything they can to shoot them. And I noticed you've got a few different costumes here for your car. You've got this, like, quite an impressive drawing of a Formula One racing car, and then you've got, like, flames on it. What are these to represent, these flames?
When it's been shot, the fire's going to get bigger and bigger.
Brilliant. Okay, I think I'll take a picture of those in just a moment. Thank you.
Okay.
So, Anna, looks like you've been creating a racing car game as well. What's different about your game?
Other people has the same sound. Mine has a different sound.
Oh, yours plays sounds as the game's going. And it looks like you're creating a character at the moment, like a person.
Yeah, when the car disappears,
yes.
the man will be coming out all set on fire.
Ah, so is it that if people shoot the car, things happen to the car? Could you just click on OK for a moment so I can just see what the other costumes look like? Ah, right, OK, so you got a car, a little bit of flame, then it's totally engulfed in flames, and then there's just a little man.
Yeah.
I think you probably need to add some facial features on, because he's going to look pretty worried if his car has disappeared, and maybe put a steering wheel in his hands, yeah? OK. So, have you done things like this before in another school, using Scratch?
But when we came to Our Lady's visit, we did it.
Right. But you didn't use it in the primary school you went to?
No.
No. Do you think that this would be good for people to use in primary schools, or not?
Yeah, get used to it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Anna.
Well, we did it in primary school.
You did? Yeah, which school?
In St. Gregory's.
And did you do things like this, building games?
Yeah, no, we did, like, simple things. Like, this is a bit more advanced, but I think theirs is more simple.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So, you've been listening to the Teach Computing podcast, which is a podcast that we try to send out every week on a Friday. We normally have me, Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher, T-E-K-N-O teacher. And every week I'm joined by Vicky Dodd, who's Vicky Vill on Twitter, V-I-K-K-I-V-I-L-L-E. Unfortunately, this week, Vicky's had, she's had a pearly boy this week, and she's not been able to get onto the podcast, so hopefully we can bring Vicky back to you next week. Next week I'm planning to be at BET. It's going to be my first time ever at BET. I've tried participating online in the past, but this time Vicky's kindly agreed to take my classes on the Friday, so I'm hoping to be down there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. Although on the Thursday I'm going to be running an introductory course for teachers all about teaching computing with Python on the Thursday. And then Thursday evening, I'm going to be running a course in the evening as well for teachers if they're considering introducing GCSE computing. So it's a twilight evening course, a short whistle-stop tour, really, around things like using the programming assignment, the investigation assignment, and I'm going to go through some of the ways that I managed to teach the theory. It's like a flipped classroom approach. So if you want to know any more about that, then you can get in touch with me on Twitter. That's a TEKNO teacher, techno teacher. I'm also planning to record next week's podcast at BET. So I'm going to go around to some of the exhibitors and demonstrators, and I'm going to catch up with some of the teachers there. So we may end up with more than one episode worth of content. If there's any particular things that you'd like me, if you can't get to BET yourself and you'd like me to go and quiz somebody or interview, then send me a tweet and I'll do the best that I can, especially if they're on a computing theme. So thank you very much for listening. If you're not already a member of Computing at School, please go and join. It's a great network where you join for free and you get to share ideas with other teachers all about the teaching of computing. And in about a week or so, I'll be sharing some more information about our 2014 Raspberry Jamboree, where we've got 2 days in Manchester. At the moment, tickets are £20 to go to that, and we're going to have people from all over the world travelling into Manchester, all to share ideas about how you can teach computing with the Raspberry Pi computer. And then on the Saturday, on the 1st of March, we're going to be at Edge Hill, and we've got space for up to 300 mums, sons, dads and daughters all to come together and take part in a Raspberry Pi Hack Day. So we'll have teams that are competing, not really to find out who's the best at using the Raspberry Pi, but really to work together on common themes and share ideas and all sort of have a fun day, really, a fun-filled family hack day. So thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.